According to research, teenagers today are much less inclined toward spirituality than were teens a dozen years ago. Does culture play a part in this change? Today we talk about the effects of culture on the most vulnerable in our society. Stay tuned.
In America these days, idols are everywhere. We've got music idols like Britney and Madonna. We've got sports idols. We've even got a show where we make idols. It's as if there's a need, a hunger in America to idolize.
What's an idol?
An idol is someone or something that occupies the place of God in your life, preeminent, prominent, the center of your life, most important person or thing, gives you identity, meaning, value, purpose, love, significance, security. When the Bible uses the word idol, that's what it's getting at.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with veteran broadcaster and best-selling author Jan Markell. For many years, Jan has been instrumental in evaluating today's current events with biblical truth. Today, co-host Eric Barger is joined by Pastor Joe Schimmel to talk about our culture and how it is affecting this generation. Joe Schimmel is an apologist for the Christian faith and president of Good Fight Ministries. He is also senior pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, and an international speaker. Now here is Jan Markell with some remarks about today's program.
Welcome to the program. Always glad you will join me as you run about with your busy life. And I'm asking the question today, can today's entertainment industry affect the culture? Well, it already has. And it may be too late to undo all of the damage, but, well, we'll try to make sense of some of it with two who have been immersed in this way of life, my co-host Eric Barger and our guest Joe Schimmel from Good Fight Ministry. If you have kids, grandkids, who think that some of the heavy metal music is okay for a Christian, and we'll hit some other topics too, video games and some of the movie industry. You just need to listen today. That's all I can say. You need to listen and not be put off by some of the frankness of the topic, because kids are heading to a godless eternity thanks to an industry that glorifies the things of the dark world. And not just kids, by the way. It affects all ages. So because of the enormity of the topic, we'll also do a web bonus today. We'll say more about that later. Heading up the conversation and sitting in for me today is author, conference speaker, veteran apologist, and my frequent co-host, Eric Barger. Eric, please take over, and thanks for doing so today.
Jan, my pleasure. I think we have a great program, probably way too much prepared here that we're not going to get on the air, but we're going to try to do our best. What we had today, folks, is a genuine wake-up call. We as Christians cannot afford to be complacent about these issues. The things that are influencing our children and our grandchildren is what we want to talk about. Some of it may be slightly shocking to some of you, but this is a reminder that we need to be vigilant. This is paramount about who's influencing our kids today, our youth culture. And we want to talk about the violence that's going on in our youth culture, the way it's being, the desensitization, the way this is being promoted. And this has happened, obviously, for decades. We understand the gratuitous violence that we see going on out there. And folks, don't get me wrong. We're not going to be vulgar. We're not going to take this over the line. But let's never forget what the Romans did to their demise, the way they kind of cheered on death. And when we take a look at the smash hits, the books, the video games, take a look at the Hunger Games movie and the popularity of it, the grotesque things that have happened throughout the entertainment world over the last 50 to 100 years, the whole death and destruction culture, we have become used to it. This has become extremely depersonalized, the whole idea of violence. And the mind-blowing advancements that I think we ought to point out right away in technology and the way these things are happening. You know, a lot of things we're seeing now on television, motion pictures, video games would be impossible in the natural world, but this has become commonplace. And, you know, you mix all these things together and it definitely leads to a problem, the whole desensitization. And we're here to examine, inform, and warn today. So that's where we're going. And it's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit for you and I as Christian parents and grandparents, and I'm both, to be able to help our families through these troubled waters. And there couldn't be a better guest to be with us today, Jan. Joe Schimmel is a terrific resource on this. He's so knowledgeable. He and I have become fast friends, and of course, he's been a guest here on the program with us before. Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you and Jan having me on. done.
Well, it's wonderful. And folks, you can find Joe at goodfight.org if you want to go there now and take a look around. Goodfight.org. He is a pastor in Southern California at Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley. But we'll give all that information as we go along. So, Joe, what do you say to somebody when they just say, oh, is there really a problem in entertainment? I don't see any big deal about it. It's what everybody's doing. And look, they're playing it on TV. It's no big deal. What do you say to somebody?
Wow. Well, the very fact that people can see what's going on today and say, it's no big deal. That's a big part of the problem. I mean, we're like the classic, you know, frog that if you put it in hot water, it hops out. But if you slowly turn up the heat and the bubbles begin to percolate, it's like a jacuzzi before you know it, that frog is comfortable but then cooked. And the percolation is, I mean, we're reaching out the boiling point, and the frog's just about cooked, and people don't even recognize they're still in this pot. It's tragic, indeed, because the perversion, you know, Eric, you and I were talking a week or so ago about the Ed Sullivan Show and how they wouldn't shoot Elvis, you know, the second time he appeared on there, waist down, I mean, because of just gyrating his hip. And now today, I mean, you have, you know, artists like Beyonce, Super Bowl, you know, the biggest visual event in the world, wearing hardly anything, and many commented that all she needed was a pole. It was like pole dancing. And Christians don't even blush in many cases. And it's absolutely heartbreaking how far we've gone down this slippery slope to destruction. And it's heartbreaking that people aren't sounding the alarm. And what I usually do is I appeal to Scripture, the Word of God. And what does God say about not putting anything evil before our eyes and guarding our hearts and these kinds of things? And are we doing those things? And unfortunately, people forget that we're in a spiritual war and we wrestle against flesh and blood. But there's a spiritual, demonic entities, you know, Satan and the demonic realm that are influencing these things. And sadly, many Christians are taking down the same road that the world is.
You know, and many of the people involved, including Beyonce, would claim to be a Christian or would have come from that kind of background and still use some of the jargon as well. And it's fairly shocking. And it may be a little early in our conversation, but now that we brought Beyonce up, or now that you brought her up, I think it'd be good to bring the sound clip in we have of her, because this really is the bottom line to why we have the violence and we have the perverse things we see in our entertainment culture. It's being fueled from the underworld, and every Christian out there should be aware of the fact that we are definitely in a spiritual battle. As long as we're living, as long as we're breathing air here on the earth, we are going to be in a spiritual war. There's no way around it. And this is really an example of it. In this clip we're going to play, the sound quality isn't as good as I would like to have, but I think it's so important we need to play it. This is Beyonce explaining what happened to her when she invited a spirit, and the spirit that she names as Sasha Fierce, into her life. Now, Sasha Fierce, according to one report, was a 1920s singer that helped to inspire people during the Great Depression. But, you know, this is a spirit basically that Beyonce, again, who claims to be a Christian, is claiming is what her fuel is. It's what changed her performance and so on. What else do we know about this, Joe, before we play the clip?
Well, it's interesting that when she introduced Sasha Fierce, her promo was go to Mendes or the Baphomet, which was the, you know, the amalgamation of a man with wings with a goat head used in Satanism. It's interesting that when she introduced Sasha Fierce, she had this emblem, you know, plastered on her along with, you know, some motorcycle handles and what have you. And she associates Sasha Fierce with the Baphomet of Satanism. She states that, you know, when this spirit takes her over, she wouldn't even want to meet this person because, you know, the anger, the perversion. You know, she says, I black out. I'm not even there for the show. She says, my body's, you know, taken over to where I don't even feel pain and what have you when she's taken over by this spirit.
This, folks, is arguably the number one singer in the world today making this kind of statement. We want to play the clip right now.
It was way better than I expected. And Sasha was in full effect. Sasha is my alter ego. And when people see me, sometimes I think that when they meet me and they speak with me, they're expecting Sasha. And I'm really kind of shy, and not really shy, but more reserved, and nothing like Sasha. But I guess I wouldn't be very entertaining on stage until Sasha comes out and she's fearless. You know, she can do things that I cannot do when I'm in rehearsal. I mean, I can try, but then it just doesn't happen. I can sing notes and sing strong and do all these things that when I'm just by myself, I can't do. And I remember right before I performed, I raised my hands up. And it was kind of the first time I felt something else come into me, and I knew that was going to be my coming out night for the BET Awards.
Well, folks, you don't have the wrong station. This is Eric Barger. I'm in today for Jan Markell. This is Understanding the Times Radio. My guest today is Pastor Joe Schimmel. Joe is also a filmmaker, and we're playing some clips that I think are going to help you understand the violence and the aggrandizement of evil that's going on inside our entertainment world, in particular in the music industry. And we really are capitalizing on that, even though we don't want to in any way ignore the fact that these things are happening on television, motion pictures, video games, and so on. But, you know, this is where it's come from. Think about this. The turn of the 20th century at midnight on December 31st, going into the 20th century, the number one thing that the police in San Francisco were doing was trying to stop kissing in public because there was a law against it. We've gone from that to accepting that the number one superstar in the world literally has invited a spirit named Sasha Fierce into her life to lead her and empower her. And this is exactly what Beyonce just said.
Eric, along those lines, I think people would be absolutely shocked. I mean, the clip that you just played, we have a people want us sometime later. They could go to our website, goodfight.org, and see a whole clip, 10 minutes or so long, about Beyonce and Jay-Z. Jay-Z, her husband, by the way, is the most successful, you know, hip-hop rap star right now because of his clothing line, Rockaware, where he promotes a bunch of occult signs and what have you. But we document this whole connection with Satanism, the occult spirit world. We show how the Super Bowl, a show that, as I said earlier, it's the biggest show on earth, the halftime show, all these people watching it, was actually an occult ceremony where she was basically celebrating bringing forth Sasha Fierce, a spirit who took control of her body. And then it's interesting because many people commented not only the sexual perversion in her act, but how she had a very angry, evil, or demonic-looking face much of the act, and what even BuzzFeed, a very liberal website, had showed many of her facial expressions. And her publicist, Beyonce's publicist, went to them and requested that they took down the flattering pictures of Beyonce. Well, that was Beyonce's show. I guess they wanted people to forget what she actually looked like, but she states that when she's taken over, this angry kind of spirit takes over. Eric, I think it's important that the radio audience here understand that just for 30 seconds of commercial time during the Super Bowl, it's about $3.5 million. That's about $117,000 a second. That's just the cost they pay CBS. That's not counting actors and set design and production and everything else. And that's because these advertisers know that they're going to influence people in mass. And how much more is a top artist going to be influencing our young people, and not just young people, but many people in mass when we're talking about something that they're more into viewing than, say, a commercial?
And we have been influenced. I mean, there's no doubt about that we're being influenced by these things. Our young people, especially, many of them at early ages especially, don't have the mooring to understand what right and wrong, evil and good. Some of the kids have grown up with this so much that it's so commonplace, they have become so desensitized in the process of this, they really don't realize. And I know there are people out there who are producing this stuff who would argue that they're just reflecting what's going on in the culture. But it's always been my opinion, not only are they doing that, they're helping to actually influence what goes on in the culture. They're just not reflecting it. And I believe it goes both ways. And the reason this is happening is because we have a huge void in our culture, and that's the void created when our culture decided to put God on the sidelines or as far away from visibility as possible. And you can take a look at what's happened. We have the obvious abandonment of biblical morality going on in the culture. That's being reflected in the entertainment world. We have the increase of human depravity. We have idolatry of all sorts, the narcissism, the escapism. And I guess right there I want to stop and just say, but folks, Jesus is still on the throne. These are reflections of what a culture looks like at the end of the end of the end days. And it was going to happen in somebody's lifetime, and it appears it's happening right in our lifetimes today. We have the Eastern mysticism and New Age spirituality and so on. And all of this is being promoted, is being advocated by those inside of the entertainment world, and then claiming that it's not hurting anybody.
Yeah, it's amazing that you said that, and you mentioned how some people would deny it. It's interesting. It's called programming. What's being programmed when they do speak out, like Angus T. Jones, I mean, the most popular television show, Two and a Half Men, he came out and said, please stop watching it. You're filling your head with filth. And he even referenced studies on television and how they influence people. And he said he was sorry that he was acting in this and people were watching it being poisoned by his programming. Jamie Foxx, who just started a huge violent movie, you know, but was also, you know, coming against the use of guns and their influence. He actually came out and he actually admitted that, you know, we need to stop saying, he basically said that Hollywood isn't influencing people for violence. He goes, it's not true. We are. He didn't get as much flack as Angus T. Jones because he wasn't as passionate and as explicit about condemning the industry for all the violence. But they're complicit. Hollywood, the music industry is, I mean, everybody's pointing that, you know, their fingers at the gun usage and everything. And talking to my dad some time ago, he's about 86 years old, a World War II vet. And he said that when he went to school, he said a lot of the kids brought their guns and they'd go shooting afterwards and, you know, shoot rabbits and hunt and what have you. And they weren't a problem. There weren't school shootings back then. Obviously, something huge has changed and guns are as legal as they ever were back then. Well, maybe even less legal in some ways, but culture's changed. The heart has become desensitized. And when you said Jesus on the throne, well, amen. In fact, these things taking place basically emphasize the fact that Jesus said in the last days, lawlessness would increase. The love of many would grow cold. And Paul said terrible times would come in the last days. And our hope has to be in Jesus. And we need to point our young people to Jesus, who is the Lord, who's the Savior.
You know, folks, we don't want to bog down here and make you think that we're going to have an hour of just nothing but doom and gloom, because this really isn't what it is. We have to identify the problem, especially for many of us who are listening to Christian radio, you know, watching Christian videos, reading our Bible all the time, reading Christian books, influencing our hearts and minds with the good stuff, the things that we should be filling our hearts and minds with. But we do need to understand our kids are being affected. And if there are parents and grandparents out there who have the thinking that just because my kids are in Christian school, my kids go to church on Sunday, that they aren't hearing this stuff, they're not watching this, they're not being influenced by this culture. If you're thinking that, then really you are of all men most deceived, and you don't want to think that way, because the youth culture is being influenced by this. Having a 16 and 17 year old granddaughters, I can tell you, and they're in Christian school in a good church, I can tell you that this influence is all around us. And, you know, these people, the rock stars, many of the entertainers, they know they're affecting the culture. And some of them are very blatant about wanting our youth. They say it up front. Joe, we want to play a clip here from the Insane Clown Posse. I know that's a funny name, but that's the name of this group. You want to set this up?
This particular clip, there's two, and I know one that you're going to play, I think, is should any parent, anybody who cares about kids at all, should be outraged with this. But there's one where these same band members talk about and encourage a young man, because he's a teen, buying their paraphernalia, to go out and commit crimes because he's still a minor. But in this clip, you're basically going to talk about, see the attitude, the arrogance that some artists have regarding how they're influencing our children while we're not in their lives.
Let's go ahead and play that right now.
Just keep this in mind. They're playing our CDs when you're not home. They're playing my tapes in your own car, in the tape deck. And I'm influencing your children.
I'm glad you're influenced by us. See your drugs? Go home and smoke something.
I'm influencing your children.
Listen, if you're ever going to commit a crime, you should do it now because you're still a minor.
And I'm influencing your children. And I'm influencing your children. And I'm influencing your children.
That is a clip from Joe Schimmel's absolutely awesome documentary on the rock music industry. It is a 10-hour version. He has a 3-hour and a 10-hour version that you can find at the website goodfight.org. It's called They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, and it's the best thing I've ever seen. And Joe, years ago, as you know, I started out, our ministry began with me doing a one-night seminar on the rock music industry wherever I had an open door, because that's what I came out of as well as what you came out of. And we're going
right,
to come back.
That's a great compliment, Eric.
Well, I appreciate you, Joe, an awful lot. Is a great video, and we're going to come back in the next segment, and we're going to not only explore some of the answers to all this, but we're also going to talk about the life that Joe and I led before and give all you parents and grandparents some hope and some help both. I know a lot of us need hope for our kids and grandkids, especially if you have a child or a grandchild who's going the wrong direction and you wonder, what can you do? Well, we're going to explore that in the next segment of the program, and probably going to also explore this in the web bonus as well. Once again, you're listening to Eric Barger. This is Understanding the Times Radio. We'll be right back in just a minute.
Say, have you put Understanding the Times 2013 on your calendar? Saturday, October 5th, Dr. Mark Hitchcock, Dr. Ron Rhodes, WorldNet Daily's Joseph Farah. No cost, no registration, just show up. Much more to come. Save the date. Saturday, October the 5th.
Eric Barger and Joe Schimmel will return with more great conversation in just a moment. Understanding the Times Radio is more than just a radio show to keep you informed on the times. We do newsletters, e-news alerts, and host annual conferences based on the kind of inconvenient truth like you are hearing on today's program. Please check out our website at olivetreeviews.org. Be back in a moment.
This is Eric Barger, the co-host of Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. I'm so happy to be a part of the media team developing the programs each week as we consistently deliver truth about current issues that you won't hear anywhere in the other media, all focused on helping you understand the times. Please remember to pray for Jan and our team as we research the topics and bring you the most compelling guests. Also, please remember us in your giving. We are now on 650 radio stations each weekend, as well as on the internet worldwide, and we need your prayerful financial partnership to help us maintain this kind of outreach. You can order products or give a donation by phone at 763-559-4444 or on the web at olivetreeviews.org. If you prefer, our mailing address is Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. On behalf of Jan Markell and the rest of our media team, thanks for joining us today for Understanding the Times Radio.
In the Old Testament, the prophet Daniel said there would come a generation that would run to and fro. We think that's today's generation, so we want to come alongside of you as you run, so you don't have to skip Understanding the Times Radio. We have mobile apps for your Android, iPhone, and iPad. You can always listen online on your computer. Go to olivetreeviews.org and then to radio for instructions. If that sounds like too much, become a CD subscriber for $15 a month and get a CD of every broadcast. And if you hear a program that's a favorite, just call us and we'll make a special order of that program for you. When you communicate with us, be sure to tell us how you listen or to which station you listen. We're new to some neighborhoods and we want to get acquainted. Call us at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444.
But cultures change. And in fact, these things taking place basically emphasize the fact that Jesus said in the last days, lawlessness would increase, that the love of many would grow cold. And Paul said terrible times would come in the last days. And our hope has to be in Jesus. And we need to point our young people to Jesus, who is the Lord, who is the Savior. Like Angus T. Jones, the most popular television show, Two and a Half Men, he came out and said, please stop watching it. You're filling your head with filth. And he even referenced studies on television and how they influence people. And he said he was sorry that he was acting in this, and people were watching it being poisoned by his programming.
Eric Barger is a co-host with Jan Markell. And today he is sitting in for Jan and talking with Pastor Joe Schimmel about the effects of the culture on our youth. Here is a brief word from Jan Markell.
Okay, welcome back. This is Jan Markell. I am taking a rare weekend off, and two who are sitting in for me, my co-host, now and then anyway, is Eric Barger. With him, his guest, Joe Schimmel. And folks, I'm actually hearing the program, even though I'm not participating today. And I want to tell you, I'm riveted. I hope you are too, and I hope you're taking notes. Let's go back to the program.
Thanks again, Jan and Joe. I appreciate everything that that we're trying to get out here to the folks. I think it's important stuff. We have results and outcome that all of the entertainment world is bringing us. The whole breakdown of the family culture is a concern to me. I know it is to you too, Joe, and the lack of parenting. We have several generations now who've been affected by this, and they just allow their kids to grow up being affected by it the same way without anybody thinking anything different. I think really the only thing that stops folks is when they have either some sort of tragedy or when Jesus gets a hold of their life and they recognize there is a right and there is a wrong, that it's just not all one big blur that you make up your own rules as you go along. But that's a lot of what we see in entertainment today, isn't it? It's all relativism. It's what you think is good and bad.
Yes, and it's by design as well. Eric, as you know, there's a book out called After the Ball, written by Marshall Kirk and Hunter Mattson, and they're Harvard-trained educated marketers. And in that book, they talk about doing jamming and desensitization and using movies and popular media to promote the gay agenda. And there's an agenda in Hollywood to desensitize. In fact, one of the greatest advertising campaigns of all time had to do with Marlboro cigarettes. That was a low cigarette on the in the market as far as sales went. And all of a sudden, they stuck a cowboy on a horse and, you know, put a Marlboro Man and a cigarette in his mouth. That's the most popular version of the Marlboro Man anyway. And overnight, and I think it was like 1954, overnight, it became the world's best-selling cigarette. And what is a cigarette? It has nothing to do with health and vitality and nature. With Marlboro Man was seen out in nature. Have anything to do with this cowboy here, but it became an overnight sensation. Now, fast forward several years, and you have Brokeback Mountain, where a couple of cowboys commit adulterous homosexual acts with one another, and the co-actor is one of the cowboys that played a cowboy there. He stated, actually, that he was all excited. I'm talking about Jake Gyllenhaal. He stated he played Jack Twist, and he stated that he was actually jumping up and down in an interview. Said, "I mean, people's minds have been changed. That's amazing, because all of a sudden you stick a couple cowboys in a setting, and all of a sudden homosexuality becomes acceptable." And when you think of this, it's propaganda is what it is. And I was driving along the road one day and listening to a conservative talk show host who I, you know, very conservative in certain areas, and he was talking about how he and his mother, and she was actually on air with him on a Friday, and they were talking about how their views on homosexuality had changed on the basis of watching this emotional movie. And if people that are typically rational can have their minds changed by Hollywood propaganda, how much more do we have to guard the hearts of our children and our own hearts?
That's it. And you know, it isn't that that we're going to become a homosexual or become an occultist or become a serial killer if we watch movies or are entertained by these things. I think for most Christians, I think for most of us who are in church, it's that we won't see anything wrong with it because we've been so conditioned to it. We've been so desensitized. It's that we have a laissez-faire attitude about evil around us. I mean, we have a great example in the Bible about this. You know, the Bible calls Lot a righteous man, and yet he was trying to dialogue with men who were demon-possessed in the streets of Sodom. How do you do that? How can you have dialogue with people who are in a possessed state? And that's exactly what it was, but he was a righteous man. And that's where we are. We are, as Christians, we're righteous by Jesus Christ, and we're living in a culture that is so unrighteous, and yet we're being affected by it. Folks, if you don't think there is a blatant antichrist and anti-Christian theme going on, not just in movies or television shows, I mean, take a look at the video game industry. We've been outlining the music industry in the program today, but the video game industry is loaded with it, and this is the way that our military is using to train people these days too, Joe.
No, it's a great point. In fact, in World War One, I mean, you would think when people were much more, you know, they were using guns or hunting and everything else, that would be easier to be a soldier and take the enemy down. But in World War One, the kill rate, they call it the pull rate, somebody would actually fire their gun and shoot the enemy, it was in its in the teens, in its mid-teens. And they began to find ways, the military did, to condition soldiers to finish off the enemy. And it went up with every succeeding war. But now with in our day, when people are so desensitized toward killing, it's now in the mid-90s, Eric, percentage-wise, of how many people will kill on the battlefield. And while you need that if you're protecting the nation, what we don't want is millions of kids being desensitized and their hearts being hardened toward killing. In fact, Lieutenant Colonel David Grossman, he was a professor at West Point for many years, and his books are required reading at the FBI Academy. He calls the video games that kids are playing today, talk about the ones that are gratuitously violent, they give you points for killing people and headshots, he calls them murder simulators. And he states that what's happening with these kids are the very things we seek to get to happen on the battlefield. But he said, tragically, it's happened in our world. And he cites a lot of the video games and these things as many of the culprits behind the culture of death that we're now facing in our country.
Yeah, we're being entertained by these things. And to the Christian, let me just be confrontational for a second in a loving way. How can we allow ourselves, our homes, our families, to be entertained by images and sights and by ideology that is so against what the Scripture says, and in many cases, so just blatantly in-your-face anti-Christian? We see this all through these mediums we're talking about today. I think it's an important thing to point out. And we have a clip of Marilyn Manson. And Marilyn Manson, of course, his name is Brian Warner. This is a fellow who's taken Marilyn for Marilyn Monroe and Manson for Charles Manson, the famous, you know, occultist and killer. And he's become one of the most popular rock stars in the world today. And when you listen to what he says to an audience, you get an idea of what is going on all through our culture, making millions and millions and millions of dollars, as well as spreading this anti-Christian rhetoric. Let's play that clip right now.
We will no longer be oppressed by the fascism of Christianity, and we will no longer be oppressed by the fascism of beauty. Because I see you all sitting out there trying your hardest not to be ugly, trying your hardest not to fit in, trying your hardest to earn your way into heaven.
And I think that says it. And we see this all around the culture. You know, don't go to church. Don't think like a Christian. Do your own thing. This is exactly what virtually every brand of the occult brings out too, isn't it?
Yeah, in occultism, it's basically, you know, amoral. I mean, it's basically what our kids are being taught in the government schools is a strong form of amorality, that we're basically animals that we've, you know, evolved from some primordial soup, and there's really ultimately no transcendent God that we will answer to, whose image we're in. And basically, we wonder why the kids act like animals and shoot each other. We've been teaching them basically that their lives are worthless.
The listeners here have heard a lot about evolution, creation, those arguments. And, you know, we've tried to give good information out all through the years on Understanding the Times. And this is, folks, Understanding the Times Radio. And this is Eric Barger. I'm in today for Jan Markell. She's here on the scene with us, but not saying much today. And my guest today is Pastor Joe Schimmel of Blessed Hope Chapel, Simi Valley, California. You can find Joe at his ministry website, goodfight.org. We're talking a lot about the entertainment world, in particular the music industry, and how all of these things, the confluence of these things, bring our kids to an antichrist and kind of a hopeless end. And maybe there's a key here, Joe, about why we have so many of our kids today willing to take guns and knives against their teachers, against their classmates. We see it all around us, and we're going to get into some of that in the web bonus, I believe. We'll probably give a couple of examples of that in the special web bonus for those of you who want to tune in at olivetreeviews.org. You'll be able to find that special podcast. Well, Joe, I want to play one more clip here before our time runs out on us, and we want to end this in a very positive way here after this clip. But this is what's going on, folks. Those in the Satanic Church have become very bold about knowing the culture and understanding that they're influencing children and teenagers to go their direction. This whole thing that we've talked about today, the idea of the music industry, entertainment world, and the direction it's gone, whether it be blatantly violent, blatantly occultic, or the sensual sexual ideas and perversions that we see being presented. This thing is fueled in the background, as we said in the first segment, by the underworld. So I want to play this quote from the Satanist Rex Church, and it's not about Satanism necessarily. It's not going to be gruesome, but it does show you that they have a plan and they're trying to implement that plan.
Satan represents the powers of force in nature, and we feel that a cleansing of the idiot ideology of the pallid, incompetent Christ is in order. And so this is something that the Church of Satan is conducting on many different avenues. We're doing this through the use of what we have called aesthetic terrorism. This involves the creative use of art, music, writing, effectively what we call propaganda, the dissemination of information to influence what we call iron youth.
Joe, when I was a musician many years ago, probably before you were born, brother, but many years ago, when I first started playing my first rock band when I was 11 years of age, I had no idea that where this thing was going to lead me. And it wasn't necessarily that the music itself made that impact upon me, but it was the lifestyle of those I was looking up to, the lifestyle of the musicians. And today we have musicians who are being influenced by those in the world of the occult, and they are then taking the platform they have before millions of people in many cases and pushing that platform to their audiences. And the audiences are helping fuel that by buying the concert tickets and buying the CDs and all the paraphernalia, the t-shirts and so on, the genre that is built around the musicians. And so this whole thing is one big fueling aspect of how Satan is grabbing people's lives. And I didn't know where this was going in my life when I was a young boy playing my first band. I just wanted to play music, but I didn't realize the lifestyle and the whole ideals that I was going to be buying into.
Yeah, I went through a very similar series of events and thankfully was delivered by Jesus. I was heavily into the rock scene and basically emulated my American idols, which were mostly actually British, like Led Zeppelin and bands like that. And I ended up, you know, thinking, wow, this is great. This is what I want to be involved in. And my whole lifestyle, my sacraments were drugs and sex, drugs, and rock and roll, that whole lifestyle. And my philosophy was do what thou wilt, which was the philosophy of Lester Crowley, even though I didn't even really understand who he was or what he was teaching. It was just the philosophy that many young people have based on these teachings coming through modern culture. But I was writing songs, Eric, I was channeling songs, you know, like Treacherous Meadows, Touched by the Devil, and Burdened with Calamity and Subdued by Disease, and all these very lyrics I can't even get into, but that would come to me as a teenager, and I was channeling things and thinking, wow, I've tapped into my subconscious mind. I was reading books on the power of the subconscious mind, and I thought, wow, I've just unleashed this power in my brain, and it was with lyrics that were beyond my comprehension. I'd read not only some of the words I was using, but the stories I was telling that I'd figure out myself after reading what I had written a few times, it would make sense. And I was writing songs about, you know, disappointment is your friend. When you realize God doesn't exist, the Christian God, that is, I was more agnostic. You'll be disappointed, but it'll be your friend. It was kind of like a play on the truth will set you free, but a perversion. And I had a song about my family or my soul and how I had to give up my family or my soul's family to be a rock star. And I basically give up all of my family to be a rock star in this song, you know. And it's interesting because the lyrics, I'll just give you a real quick glimpse of them, was, you know, I was falling forever deeper into the hole. I could not be freed. The devil was grasping my soul. My mother was screaming. My sister was dreaming. My sisters and my brother was crying. My father was dying. And at first I was troubled with the devil for the reason, but then the choice had dawned. It would be my soul or that of my family's to be treason. I couldn't win to be a devil or a demon. And the song goes on where I'm set free to rock. And I thought, Eric, that, wow, this was just fun. This was just basically my exclamation as to, you know, an anthem for the power of rock music and how I'm going to sell everything out to be involved in rock music. And I realized later, as I continued to have these mystical occult experiences, that, wow, I had opened myself up to demonic forces, satanic forces that I did not believe existed. I thought were a joke, that Christians were dinosaurs, it was some kind of myth. I had to go come face to face with evil to recognize that the satanic spirit world existed. And then, thank God, the Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I cried out to God in the midst of one of my occult experiences. Happened again a little bit later, a few days or about a week or so later. Cried out again. Both times the experience stopped. And then I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, fell on my face, renounced the works of darkness, and cried out to the Lord, opened the Word, began to study, and saw where he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, which is what we're doing on this show. It's like an MRI or, you know, a CAT scan. It's hard to look at it, but we have to look at it and say, hey, because we're not going to seek the solution to realize how bad the problem is. And I became aware of the problem, and I realized the solution is Jesus. I found him. Praise God, my family, my mom, three sisters, my brother, all got saved, very effective servants, all of them at the church that I pastor. And they've been following the Lord for years. And what Satan meant for evil, God's turned for good. And people need to know, and through this show, that, hey, Satan, a lot of evil is coming, but we have one who's great. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. That we're more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. If God is for us, who could be against us? The answer is in Jesus.
Boy, it sure is. I am so glad that you surrendered to Christ and that you made him Lord of your life and you put him in the right place in your life. And there's hope out there, folks. I'm telling you, there's hope. If God can save Joe Schimmel and he can take Eric Barger from where I went from or came from, then he can certainly save anybody. He is a miracle God. And I remember Joe in my mid-20s having an epiphany, realizing that the drug culture and the getting high and all the stuff I was involved with at that point in time, it really wasn't fulfilling me. Problem is, at that point in my life, I was looking for an answer, and I found Eastern mysticism. I found the I Ching. I found the Book of Changes. I started exploring that kind of stuff. I'd already been involved in astrology heavily. I'd dated a gal who was a bona fide black witch who had done an astrology chart for me that was a scroll that you rolled down. It was like as tall as I was from head to the floor. And, you know, I was looking for answers. And so I started experimenting with Eastern mysticism. I was a New Ager before it was ever called New Age. And that was what I was trying to figure out what life was all about. And was there anything in the afterlife? So I began to buy into the ideas of reincarnation, which at that time my mother believed in. Thankfully, 9 months before she passed away, she became a Christian. We led her to the Lord. And people go looking for answers. And if they go looking to the people who've been influencing them, the musicians, the movie stars, the rock stars, the TV stars, if they go looking there for answers, they're going to find so many different conclusions for what life is all about. But we have found the one that has a risen living Savior attached to it. And he's one who's willing to clean up anybody who comes to him by faith. A lot of folks, you know, they think that they have to get righteous before they can meet God. Well, the truth is, we are not righteous until we meet God. Until we come to Jesus Christ, our righteousness can't help us. And so I want to encourage the parents and grandparents out there, do not give up. We can't afford to ignore what is going on with our youth culture and what is being pumped out of the entertainment world today. We might think we have shielded our kids and our congregations if we're a pastor or in ministry. We might think somehow we're shielding removing them from it. But really what we need to do is respond to it. And that's what we're doing today, is responding to what's happening in the culture. Joe has given you lots of scriptures today, some of the exact same ones that I use in my seminar series, Joe, and we think so much alike. And I think we learned that about each other when we met, what, about a year or so ago, and saw that indeed we were like brothers from a different mother. And so, you know, we understand we can't ignore these things. We need to respond to it. And that's what we're trying to do, folks, is respond to what's happening in the entertainment world, to be a wake-up call to some of you who need the wake-up call. But keep in mind all the time that Jesus is indeed the answer. The Bible does have every solution for both our lives here on the earth and for our eternity. And we should never give up in the middle of this at the same time. Well, once again, folks, you've been listening to Joe Schimmel, our guest here today on Understanding the Times Radio. This is Eric Barger speaking. And I really encourage you to go to Joe's website, goodfight.org, goodfight.org, and especially check out his DVD. And he has a terrific DVD. They sold their souls for rock and roll. I think every one of you need to have information that's included in that DVD. Joe, thanks so much for being here and all the information and encouragement you've given today.
Oh, thanks so much, Eric, for having me. Praise God for you guys.
Well, Jan, I'm going to turn it back to you at this point.
And we've got more information for you. We've got our special report coming up in seconds, and we're going to have a web bonus. Let me just say this to close out this section of the program. As we hear of the growing darkness in the world, remember God is far more powerful than the forces that are trying to wreck the world and that would like to ruin your life or that of a loved one. And we can call on the name of Jesus Christ, and he will calm the waves of evil that Eric and Joe have talked about today. To access our web bonus, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org, and follow the simple instructions there for listening options. You can listen online on your computer. Just go to our radio category. You can always become a CD subscriber or order a set of CDs from this week's programming and call our office, and that number will be given at the end of the program. We do have a special report coming up that I'll be sitting in for. Again, my thanks to Joe and to Eric Barger. And remember, don't forget, they do have a lot more information coming up on our web blog.
Just a reminder, if you want to hear more from Eric and Joe, they are continuing their discussion on the website. That address is olivetreeviews.org, and then click on the radio archive page. There you will find the continuation of this program under the title of Web Bonus. Coming up, Jan interviews Messianic Rabbi Michael Wolff as they talk about a new movie Rabbi Wolff has produced as a witness tool to the Jewish community. Stay tuned for our special report this week.
Investing in Christian radio has eternal value. Lives are being changed. Truth is going forth. And we call Understanding the Times Radio for the Remnant. You will keep hearing news and information on this program that is not available many places. This outreach began almost 13 years ago and now has expanded to hundreds of radio outlets across America and around the world electronically. Consider being a part of the family. Tax-deductible gifts in the new year can be sent to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Be sure to tell us what station you're listening to, or call us business hours, 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444. Watch the world with me through the lens of the Bible each week, right here where your dial is set.
Keep you informed on what the Bible predicts as we evaluate the events of our day. This is Understanding the Times Radio.
They're subscribing to replacement theology as a part of the justification for their political perspective. And it is a new place. I never would have expected it to come from this place. I would have thought it would come from the old line places. The Spirit of God began to move as a part of the Jesus movement upon Jewish people in the first identifiable revival or publicized revival in newspapers and so forth around the world of Jewish people since the first century.
This is a special report from Understanding the Times Radio. Every week, Jan Markell concludes her broadcast with a report that answers questions about themes currently in the news. Here now is our report for this week.
say some of you may remember the Jesus People revival of sorts in the 60s and 70s. And for those of you who don't recall those days, well, Jews came to Jesus proportionately more than Gentiles. It was nearly a great awakening. And at that time, a movement grew into a phenomenon, the Messianic Jewish movement. In the mid-1970s, there were just 6 Messianic Jewish congregations in the world. I happened to be affiliated with one of those in the early 1980s, and that would have been in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis-St. Paul area. But today, there are hundreds across the globe and hundreds of thousands of Jews who enthusiastically follow Jesus. Well, a pioneer in the movement is Messianic Rabbi Michael Wolff. He is the writer and producer of a new DVD, Olive Tree Ministries carries, The Sound of the Spirit, and this is a moving DVD, and I hopeful that it will pique your interest as it concerns, well, witnessing to your Jewish family members, your friends, your neighbors, whoever God might send into your life who is a Jewish unbeliever. So, Michael Wolff, welcome for the first time to Understanding the Times Radio.
It's really wonderful, wonderful, wonderful to talk.
Michael, give us a little outline of the story, the DVD. It's a touching film, and you don't have to be Jewish to identify with some of the emotional issues contained in it. So give us an outline.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a movie about a young Jewish girl who goes to one of these congregations, the Messianic Jewish congregation. Her mother has passed away several years before. She's about 12, and her father dies, and she has to go live with her relatives who are not believers. And questions that I get from Christians all the time is, well, what did your parents think when you accepted the Lord? What did your family do when you turned to Jesus as the Messiah? Well, what did you see the rabbi? How did the community respond? And all of that is in the movie, but it really gives an education about how she prevails and really lives for the Messiah and loves these people and has a heart for them. So,
I mean, I don't know how many Jews versus non-Jews listen to this program, but let's just say for the sake of discussion, Michael Wolff, that we've got an audience that's about 95% Gentile believer.
Yes.
And how can we make this sound interesting to them? Why should they feel this is even important?
Well, first of all, this is a dynamic that existed in the first century, and it is the dynamic of the reception by a minority of Jewish people of the gospel and Paul, and it's happening right in our own time, which means that the first book shall be last, that there is a revival preceding the second coming of Messiah, and it's an exciting time we live in. And so this dynamic in the modern day of the awakening of the Jewish people to the person of Jesus and the response of the surrounding community should be relevant to everybody. It's great for education, for kids. I mean, it really opens the eyes up. And Christian kids, Jewish kids, they watch it like so many times, but it's not just for children, but it's tremendous in the educational context. And also, yes, if you have a Jewish friend, it can help them understand, but it really opens the heart up, and it's glorifying to God, and it's a story that's never been told. I think that's important to say about it too, on film. And you get a Christian movie, okay, they're wonderful, and we're a part of that whole faith movie dynamic with the Bridgestone Multimedia Group distributing us, and we're in all the Christian stores and blah blah blah, and again, it's available right here on your show. But fact of the matter is that it's good to get out of a little bit of your own environment and to really be exposed to a cultural situation where the Lord is relevant, that is a little bit different, and I have to say most relevant, because it has to do with the people of the book, mm-hmm. of the people of the Bible, the people of Israel, the Jewish people, and that's relevant.
A Jew doesn't stop being a Jew because they believe in Jesus.
That's right. Absolutely. Paul taught that. That's taught all the way through the Scripture. James talks about it in Acts 21.
And that comes out in the film. I mean,
yes.
I identified with quite a bit in the film. Folks, you can get it at my website, olivetreeviews.org, views as in viewpoint, olivetreeviews.org, and just go to our products, and you'll find it, the DVD, The Sound of the Spirit, in our product section there. I identified with parts of it, and... You know, Michael, I had to chuckle because this gal had to go live with her aunt, who is a Jewish unbeliever. Rivka is a Jewish believer having to go live with a Jewish unbeliever. And I put myself in her position. What if I had had to go to live with my Aunt Sadie when I was that age? Aunt Sadie is a Jewish unbeliever in my family. I mean, that would have been the assignment of a lifetime. It wouldn't have worked.
Yes, but it does work in the sense that wherever we go, we're called to shed the love of God around us. You know, it's the calling. You know, the famous scripture, gospel is the good news of the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, Romans 1:16.
There's been a wreckage in the church, the wreckage of replacement theology, and it's one of the most tragic happenings in the church ever. It disinherits the Jews. It says the church has replaced Israel. The church now gets all the promises that were made to the Jewish people. It ignores Paul's heart cry in Romans 9:10 and 11. His heart's desire is that Israel might be saved. And he reminds everyone that the special calling of Israel is irrevocable. And yet we have replacement theology, or what I call it, one of the worst false teachings ever, racing through entire denominations. I don't want to get into naming the denominations. There's some mainline Protestant denominations that hold to this, and more, and I'd like your input on this because you're more involved in messianic things than I am. This is creeping into evangelicalism as well. Do you see that, Michael?
Absolutely. You know, what we're finding is that there's a new twist on it that relates to social justice and has to do with Middle East situations, complex situations, but it's taught in a distorted manner, I think, by people who are calling Israel oppressive and all of this. And in that context, they're subscribing to replacement theology as a part of the justification for their political perspective. And it is a new place. I never would have expected it to come from this place. I thought, would have thought it would come from the old line places, you know, like you're describing. But it is a new picture, a new version of it. And it is something that is, you know, it really opened the door in the church. This is what Raleigh Washington of Road to Jerusalem says, you know, to all of the other, it's like getting the top button wrong on a shirt. Many of the other injustices that the church has struggled with over the centuries, racial and other kinds of denominational, and it is something that is the exact opposite of what the scriptures teach. So you wonder how people get it, but studies have shown that 60% of the American evangelical church believes in supersessionism or replacement theology.
Really? That high?
Yes, that's what studies have shown.
Again, one of the most serious tragedies within theology that I have certainly experienced in my lifetime is to see that this theology is not, it's increasing, the intensity is increasing and it's spreading. I want your position, Michael Wolff, on the reference in Romans 9:10-11 that all Israel will be saved. That's a question I get by email on a regular basis. I have my own interpretation of it. Tell me yours. I think we agree on this.
Romans 11:25 does not mean a wider hope theology. Otherwise, all of Paul's others comments would be useless. It means that every Jewish person who is there when the Messiah returns will come to know the Lord. Someday, every Jewish person will be a messianic Jewish person. Zechariah 12:10, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, Habitu Elisha, Asher Dakaru in the Hebrew, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only son. This is the verse of Scripture that would parallel Romans 11:25. It does not refer to the fact that every Jewish person through history is a believer or something of that sort.
And I would agree with that the Jews who are alive at the end of the age, when Jesus Christ returns, when he returns and they see him and they look upon him and they mourn for him, all of those that see the Lord at that time will be saved.
But an increasing number are accepting now as a remnant. I wanted to say that.
As a remnant, yes.
Exciting.
All right. But you see the remnant growing, correct?
Yes, I do.
Would you have pinned that back starting about the late 60s, 1970s?
I would almost say starting June 6, 1967, when during the Six-Day War, you can almost pin it to that day.
Okay, that's interesting. I probably would have highlighted 1967 myself, but why do you pin it to June 6, 1967? You nail it down that closely.
Because that summer, the Spirit of God began to move as a part of the Jesus movement upon Jewish people in the first identifiable revival or publicized revival, newspapers and so forth, around the world of Jewish people since the first century. We saw the Young People's Messianic Jewish or Hebrew Christian Alliance, it was called back then, start in 68, and we saw the beginning of almost to that day, and that was that quote-unquote summer of love. Jews for Jesus started in San Francisco. We just see it.
Well, that's interesting, because, see, I have a theory that 1967 was a key year in so many respects from the modern day occult even, I think, got launched with Rosemary's Baby in 67.
Absolutely.
All sorts of things happened. Obviously, the most significant thing is Israel retook the city of Jerusalem, and that's what you're referring to, June 6, 67, correct?
That's right.
All right. Again, the DVD, again, this ministry carries it, The Sound of the Spirit, olivetreeviews.org, and go to our products. You can learn more at soundofthespiritbackstory.com, soundofthespiritbackstory.com. And I have been talking with Messianic Rabbi Michael Wolf, and you're out of Ohio. What is your congregation, Michael?
Beth Messiah in Loveland, Ohio.
Beth Messiah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Listen, we'll stay in touch. I want to thank you for making this. I think there's only one other DVD out there like that. It's not even like this. It's more of a documentary. This is more of a drama. It's terrific. I want to thank you for making it. Michael, the DVD is going to be on Daystar here in the next few days. Why don't you give us the time?
Sound of the Spirit will be showing on Daystar Television, on the Daystar channel, on Saturday, March 9th at 7 o'clock p.m. It'll also be at 6:30 a.m. for their international, but 7 o'clock p.m. Saturday, March 9th.
Okay, great. We'll be hoping to watch. Thanks a lot.
We are a vapor. You are eternal. Love everlasting, reigning on high.
Just a reminder that this radio program and the web bonus with Eric Barger and Joe Schimmel are available as a free download on our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's views as in viewpoint, olivetreeviews.org.
Say, have you put Understanding the Times 2013 on your calendar? Saturday, October 5th, Dr. Mark Hitchcock, Dr. Ron Rhodes, WorldNet Daily's Joseph Farah. No cost, no registration, just show up. Much more to come. Save the date. Saturday, October the 5th.
Every week, Jan Markell brings you cutting-edge interviews with people who are evaluating our times through the lens of the Bible. These programs come to you free of charge, but the cost of airtime on 650 radio stations is staggering. We could use your prayerful and financial support and help us continue to meet the financial obligations of such an outreach. If you would like to know more about this ministry, our mission, or our host, Jan Markell, please check out our website at olivetreeviews.org. And our office phone number is 763-559-4444. Our mailing address is Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Jan Markell will return at this same time next week.